Welcome everybody this morning on this cold winter's morning. Now our first reading is from 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgivings to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of the glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And then we've got Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And our second reading is from Mark 3, verses 20 to 35. And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've had the privilege in my time in living in a number of very tight-knit communities. And when you talk about these small communities where Jesus did most of his ministry, we have to understand that their culture is very different to ours. The way they organise their life is very different to ours. They're very much about knowing who is in and who is out. That they have very strict understandings of behaviours, of expectations, of obligations. And if you step out of line, you can very quickly move from inside to outside. And the main unit by which this is done is actually the unit of a family. And if one person in a family does something that moves them out, the family is meant to either push them out themselves or to discipline them. Otherwise, the entire family is out. And we call that the honour-shame culture. And in some ways, it's actually about human connection. We want to know who's connected to who and how and why. And we all want to know we have a place. So they have these very rigid, if unspoken, social rules. And the family is the source of this all. The family is where most of the, well, it's where you train your children to do the right things and to be the right things so that your family does the right things and it goes up. And people, and those children know their place and they do their, that's where they thrive. Inside the society, inside this society, and hopefully we've got the rulers up at the top. Does the laser work on this? Yep. Isn't bright enough. Right at the top, you've got the ruler, be that Caesar or whoever. Then you've got the people who work for them, the governing class. And then you've got the retainers, so the people who assist them, their appointed officials, and the priests. And then on the other side, you've got the merchants, and they can get pretty influential because they get rich and they provide things. Then you've got the people who live day by day, the day labourers and slaves. Then you have your skilled workers, not quite in the merchants, but they work for the merchants, so they're above and they could often be free. But then you have the unclean and degraded. They're the people who got put. They're the ones who've been pushed aside. They're the ones who've been told, you're not worth spending time for. And then there's the expendables. Those people who, frankly, wouldn't be missed. Those people who could be seen, but really get ignored. We don't have expendables in 2020's Brisbane, do we? 2020's Redlands. Rubbish. We have 6,000 homeless in the Redlands. And what was Jesus doing? He was going and healing people. Particularly, he was healing people who had mental illness, who were considered right down the bottom of that pile. Where is someone who's trying to climb? Where should they be operating? Where should they be putting their time and effort? They should be pleasing the people above them. That's their job. And they should be making, if they've got this ability to do these healings, they should be using that to build friendships and get in the right connections and do all the right things. So what do the people do? Go have a chat to Jesus' family and they say, can you get Jesus to fall in line and start doing the right things? And Jesus says something amazing. Well, he does a bit of teaching on the whole demon thing, and yes, sorry, again, very adult themes. And the lectionary occasionally takes us to places where there are no nice. When you're sharing, we share, four or five people do here, we try to use a plan that goes through the Bible, and occasionally you get an adult Sunday, and this is a... No children here. If you want children, yeah. And that's where you do something different. I would be skipping slides everywhere. But he's actually saying, He got an accusation. So they were trying to say, you've stuck your head up, we're going to knock it down a bit. So we're going to say, hey, you've got power over the dark things in the world. That means you've got to be really dark. And Jesus turns it around and goes, hey, look, that means the forces of darkness are falling apart. You beauty. If darkness is at war with darkness, I've won. Or, well, you guys have won. I'm losing if I'm in that camp. And then he says, hey, look, but you're right about one thing. The power of good is overcoming the power of evil in the world. I'm here today and not doing industrial chemistry because it is my belief power of good can overcome the power of sadness and brokenness in this world. Jesus has called us to be a community where wholeness of life, where the love that overcomes people's feelings of unworthiness, people's feelings of loss, of hopelessness. We can't fix people's problems for them. That's the boss's job. But what we can do is be a community that witnesses to a way of life. Be a community where we pray for and we see people be transformed. And this is the sting of that story. Jesus' family comes back and Jesus says, who are my brothers and sisters? Those who come to do the will of God. We're called to be God's family. We're called to make decisions that don't make sense to the world around us. And that's what Paul's writing about in his letter. He's saying, people look at me and go, you were all set up. He was heading up that ladder. He was at the top. He was at the top of the religious caste. He was in the Pharisees. That means he was heading towards ruling class. He was being given important jobs. And he threw it all away to follow this Jesus. And he says, it's worth it. Because my hope is not in this body. Our hope is not in us. We're fragile. We're going to do things that don't work. We're going to get things wrong. We're going to hurt each other. But our hope is in that when we offer ourselves to God, when we join that young Isaiah, when confronted with the presence of God and the needs of the world, there's here, send me. We become brothers and sisters of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Loved for who we are, I pray that we may know this transformation and our community may know this transformation as we continue to move together with our prickles and our problems, but most of all in the knowledge of the forgiveness and love of God. And that desire, that heart we've heard, and I've heard from you in all the phone calls I've had this week, that more people get to know God, that more people know that love and that joy and the hope that we have. And it's there that we place our faith, even when it's hard. Amen. Okay, next up we have we got a song from the way Lynn's moving?